Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. This episode, we talk about NVIDIA, chip shortages, and what they're doing to solve the problem. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McCain.
Dennis, I know that lately you've been working a lot with some retro PC gaming projects, and we've talked a little bit about that in the last podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been kind of eating up some time.
I know, and I do see some new retro gaming PC stuff over there, but you know, that's not what caught my attention today. I see new hardware on the test bench, and it's not retro hardware.
No, this is brand new hardware. So I believe what you were referring to is the EVGA GeForce RTX 3060 XC gaming card that I have.
Indeed, a new video card is always cause for excitement, at least for me.
Oh yeah, I love them.
And I know I've been waiting for quite a while to see if the 3060 really lives up to the hype and that it will at least compare with my 2070.
Oh, well, I can't tell you any numbers just quite yet because I've been delayed slightly.
Oh no.
Well, and some of it is more or less, how do I test a card that you can't actually buy?
Well, you can't really buy any of them these days, or at least not easily.
No, I mean, the reason for a product review is so that people know what it is that they're buying. And if you can't actually buy it, then who's going to read the review? So as I was testing the card, I was thinking about, well, how do I want to test this in a market where you can't actually buy the card? So I really kind of was conflicted about what to test and how to test it. You know, when I tested the 2060 KO, we remember that one.
Right.
The review was primarily like, hey, I'm going to put it under LN2 and try to overclock the snot out of it. It kind of worked and it kind of didn't work, but it was actually a really fun article. I don't necessarily want to do that with this particular card because it's actually still very relevant. And it's a card that I would probably buy.
Well, that's at least a solid recommend if you could buy it.
Of course.
But I thought, Dennis, that the RTX 3060 series was going to be the one that fixed all these problems with availability.
It was. And actually, when it got released, and this is something that I talked about on Hardware Asylum, we might have mentioned it in the podcast in passing, but when the 3060 launched, they, being NVIDIA, released a driver that would prevent the card from being used for mining. It was kind of an anti-mining block.
Well, that's good news, right?
Yeah. So if you bought the card and you ran an Ethereum workload on it, it's supposed to actually halve the throughput, basically. It wouldn't actually mine at full speed. You'd still mine at half speed. But for somebody that's buying the card to actually mine coin, it's unusable.
Well, that keeps a shipping container full of these things from accidentally falling onto the farm, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and of course, when the 3060 got launched, NVIDIA also announced some mining dedicated cards. And these are basically just workload GPUs. They don't have a video out, so they're a little bit less expensive. And they're really designed for this mining process. And they aren't driver limited. They aren't hardware limited. And I've seen reports of people buying like $6 billion. Well, not really that much, but
it feels like it.
A bunch of those cards for the dedicated purpose of mining. So they'll put them actually to work. They don't necessarily have the same amount of onboard memory, but for a dedicated card, I don't think you really need it. When we are looking for a dedicated mining card, you're looking for certain specs because you think you need to have it for a certain workload. Well, if you have a dedicated card, all you have to do is tweak the algorithm a bit and you can make it more efficient for what you're doing.
All that sounds really good. I would think that those folks, at least the hardcore miners, would be flocking to the new chipset.
Well, they would. Although, you know, remember that that movie Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park, who doesn't?
Well, Jeff Goldblum made a quote in there, and I'm probably going to haggle this up, but basically he said, well, nature will find a way.
Oh, yeah. Life will find a way, maybe is right. That sounds
familiar. I think his life will find a way. But I
think I see where you're going with this. So they released this card so that you can't mine with it, and that isn't very accurate, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So one of the beta drivers made it out into the wild and likely into the hands of a beta tester or a hardware review site, somebody like that, actually got one of these beta drivers. Well, that driver got released before they added the anti-mining lock. So now all of a sudden this driver's out in the wild and is being replicated everywhere, that people are buying the 3060s running this old driver, because you don't have to have the latest and greatest driver to mine.
Oh, and so easy. You don't even have to hack the BIOS or anything to make it work, huh?
No, you just run this other driver.
Oh, that explains it.
NVIDIA came back and kind of did the best way should I put this? They did what Microsoft did with Windows 8 by adding the start menu back. And all they did was just put an icon in the taskbar and had it go and spawn the side menu. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. It was better than nothing.
But that's basically graphic designers saying F you.
Oh, no.
Well, the F you from NVIDIA is basically, well, this chip is out in the wild. Let's just replace the chip. Because the way the NVIDIA driver works, it makes an encrypted handshake with the BIOS and the chip to determine what kind of card is in there, what kind of card is installed. That's how they can separate the mining-specific 3060s from the gaming-related 3060s.
All right, so hold on. They thought it was easier to release a whole new chipset than to, well, I guess you can't get the gene back in the bottle now that I think about it.
No, and I was thinking originally, it's like, well, the only way that NVIDIA is going to fix their problem is release the 4000 series GPU. Because I thought at that point, anyone can hack the driver to make it work with any GPU that's out there, or hack the BIOS or something like that. That's what overclockers did to go and...
You just compare the BIOS without it, the BIOS with it, and you got practically a roadmap on how to fix it every time.
NVIDIA says, well, we can actually just release another GPU. The handshake will go and prevent it from actually being used incorrectly.
Well, that's a little shady, but... I guess I'm in favor as long as it makes them more available.
Well, these locks are really designed so that we can have segmentation in the market. So we have our gaming-related cards and we have our crypto cards. And if we can keep that separation at the driver level or even at the hardware level, then everybody wins.
So ultimately, they released a newer version of the 3060, or they are in the process of doing so.
I'm just making the assumption that the new product ID on the chip is how they're making them different. I'm not sure if they changed anything on the silicon. Normally, when they issue a new number, they change things like the number of CUDA cores or the clock speed or something like that. So I don't know if any of that has changed or if it's just, hey, you got around our driver issue. Yay, congratulations. We're going to issue a new chip and all the 3060s from now on will use that chip.
Okay, that makes sense. So they didn't need to release a 4000 series, which is a bummer. Mm-hmm. As we all know, there are always rumors that NVIDIA has the next card waiting just in case ATI does something useful.
Yeah. Well, and my thought for them releasing the 4000 series would be at the hardware level, they could go and limit the type of calculations that they can do. But something we'll talk about a little bit later will make that really kind of a moot point.
Well, they didn't release a 40X card, which is a bummer, but they did the next best thing, at least we think they're going to. Rumors say that within a month, we will see the latest 30X card, the 3080 Ti, Dennis.
Oh my gosh, the 3080 Ti. That's something that Winston Chim and I talked about on his live show back at the beginning of the year.
Well, we're well trained by NVIDIA, right? So there's a great predictability to the 3080 Ti. It kind of has to exist.
It has to. And we will have Ti cards all up and down the line. I mean, we already have 3060 Ti's, which is crazy.
It's weird that, well, there's a lot weird going on with the 3060, but let's talk a little bit about the 3080 Ti rumors, because if the latest rumors are to be believed, well, maybe we should start with that. Yeah. Where do the latest rumors come from?
The latest rumors come from basically the public at large.
Oh.
So somebody out there went and was trolling around some of the online stores, probably looking for a 3080 card to buy, and they see a listing for an MSI GeForce RTX 3080 Ti Ventus 3X OC 12 gigabit GDDR 6X.
Oh, okay.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, take my money, Dennis. How do I pay for that thing today?
Well, and of course, with this being listed, sadly, it's from MSI. Well, we're assuming the card is MSI, so we're assuming the posting is from MSI. But by and large, this is confirmation that we will probably have a 3080 Ti by the next product release cycle, which is May 25th. That's what everybody's saying.
Well, and that means they are probably already shipping in anticipation to at least distributors, right?
Well, that's what we would hope. And of course, we go out to PC Gamer, and they have gone above and beyond saying, hey, well, what is this card going to look like? Because of course, when the 3080 got released, it was very similar to the 3090 in terms of the CUDA core count, the clock speed, and there wasn't really a lot of wiggle room between the two cards. PC Gamer is basically calling out, we have a chart, I'll put a link down in the show notes. They're claiming that we are going to have 10,240 CUDA cores.
Okay.
Which is 200 and some change less than the 3090. That's insane. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
And that's basically, they removed two of the ray tracing cores, the RT cores. So we have 80 instead of 82. We have 320 tensor cores down from 328. Seem very familiar again.
Right.
We have the same amount of ROPS, which is 112. And we're guesstimating on the GPU base clock and boost clock, which are 30 megahertz less than the 3090?
Yeah, base at 1365 estimated, boost at 1665 estimated.
Yeah.
That's pretty good though.
That is. And here is where the rubber meets the road, or the men get separated from the boys, or the R8 gets separated from the S5. We have 24 gigabits of GDDR6X on the 3090, but we only have half of that at 12 gigabits on the GDDR6 on the 3080 Ti.
What's most interesting about that is it doesn't scale from the regular 10 gigabytes of GDDR6. So I would think it would be somewhere in the middle, but I guess not.
Nope. And basically the way that the chip distribution is set up, we still have a 384-bit wide memory bus up from 320 on the 3080. And if you just do the math on the core clocks, the TGP or TDP is basically the same at 340 watts. It was just that 20-watt difference between the two cards.
Well, that's a lot of fairly specific information for a rumored card.
Yeah, it makes you wonder where that came from. But this is kind of the logical progression.
Well, and they're speculating that we'll see a price that's a very reasonable $999, which makes the Taya much more attractive than the 3090.
So the prices are set up. We have $1,500 for the 3090, or the Titan card. And the 3080 Ti, they estimate, will be at $1,000. And the 3080, assuming that you could buy one, and they were actually at the release price, we'd have that at $700.
Maybe this will help make them available.
Well,
maybe not.
I think so, because remember we talked about the 3060 and how they're re-releasing that chip so that it could get past the mining block? Well, what's to make them not add the mining block to the 3080 Ti?
From the get-go.
Yeah. Well, at that point, it's a brand new chip. They can just put it in the driver.
And hopefully they've learned their lesson with the beta drivers so they can keep that from happening.
And since we have the mining dedicated cards, there should be a separation here. So the 3080s will basically stop being made once they start making the 3080 Ti. So those will go completely off market. And the 3090s will still be on market and people will still be trying to buy those cards. But if we can get a 3080 Ti with the same spec, basically, it's basically a 3090, just kind of cut down a little bit. We have the same basic performance at a high-end card. I think this will be the gamer card to get.
Yeah, it certainly looks like it could be the new sweet spot, although it's still hard for me to feel like even a $999 card is really the sweet spot for budget, but the performance numbers, they don't lie. Hopefully they're pretty close to reality. Dennis, we've been talking a lot about the latest news from NVIDIA, but we haven't talked a lot about the GTC announcements that NVIDIA gave. Of course, GTC being the graphic technology conference where NVIDIA traditionally makes all of their technology announcements.
Yeah, they basically kind of open up the secret book and talk about everything, except for gaming stuff.
Interestingly enough, they don't talk about their graphics cards very often. I suppose that's because they don't have to.
No. And I've gone to a lot of the NVIDIA conferences. Well, you went to one.
Yeah.
In Vegas. And during those shows, there isn't a lot about the gaming GPUs that's talked about. They talk about some of the technology that they have in place to create new things.
Well, yeah.
They talk about ray tracing, but they don't necessarily talk about a card. They did announce the 10 series at a special event. the event prior to that at CES, they just talked about, you know, AI stuff and cars and, you know, some data center blip that they did.
Well, I do know NVIDIA has been dramatically expanding their reach into a lot of different areas, so that doesn't surprise me at all.
No, and that's something that NVIDIA has been doing really well for a long, long time. You remember a company called 3DFX?
Yes, of course. They made great video cards back in the day.
They did. Well, they were consumed by NVIDIA. About a year later, during Computex, I was laying in my hotel room thinking, so why would NVIDIA want to buy 3DFX? We have a new technology called PCI Express, and the PCI Express is basically different than AGP. So we have all these individual slots that can be divided up in different ways. It's like, well, what if NVIDIA was going to link two of their graphics cards together? They could call it SLI. Wow. Later that day, I met with NVIDIA and I asked that question. And I got two very, very pale, blank stares
okay.
from the two executives that were in the room that I was talking to. And there was a long pause. And my marketing guy comes back and says, well, there's nothing in the spec that would prevent that from happening. And I'm like, all right, so you just kind of confirmed what I said, but not the way I said it. And lo and behold, 3 months later, what gets released? Graphical linking via SLI.
Woohoo, and the world has never been the same.
It has not until they took it away.
Oh, well sort of.
Yeah. Well, some of that buildup was also they buying 3FX, and then they bought SIS or VIA or somebody. They bought a chipset manufacturer so that they could manufacture their own chipsets. And that was to get by and prevent Intel and AMD from running SLI so they could run it just on their chipsets and get into that market. Well, the end result was we entered the motherboard market to better sell our graphics cards. If we go forward in time, we have some very key purchases. One of the biggest ones was Mellanox, and Mellanox makes data center interconnects. And we knew that NVIDIA had been in the data center before. They created a bunch of supercomputers using GTX cards. So why would you want Mellanox? Well, to make something faster in the data center. It didn't make much sense at the time, but now we have NVIDIA buying ARM for $40 billion. Although,
huge.
However, at the time of this podcast, that purchase is being tied up in some red tape with some big governments around the world.
Well, I still think the market is acting like that's going to go through. It just is going to take a little bit of time.
It will. Now, if we add ARM plus the fact that NVIDIA has been making phones for a long time and tablets, gaming tablets, you know, these gaming devices, they all have these ARM chips in them. So they have experience in that space. Now, we take Mellanox, high-speed data center stuff, we take ARM, we take tablets, and we take a very, very powerful GPU with AI built in that loves to crunch numbers, aka the cryptocurrency folks.
Yes.
So we have the perfect melding of technology to create a supercomputer using all NVIDIA technology.
Oh, well, that's a good point. And scalable too.
And it's super, super scalable. And the biggest problem is that Intel and a little bit of AMD have dominated that space for the past 50, 60 years. You know, if you're in a data center, you basically have an Intel CPU and it's all CPU power. Well, now all of a sudden we have the power of the GPU combined with a super power efficient CPU, and we have the makings of a scalable supercomputer, similar to what cryptocurrency people are doing in their basements. We have basically these business level chipsets put on expanded motherboards with a super low end CPU because we don't need to have a lot of computing power to actually move data to the GPUs. The GPUs are doing the heavy lifting. Well, in a sense, that's what NVIDIA is creating for the data center. And at the GTC, they announced Grace.
Okay.
Which is effectively that. It's an ARM-based self-contained unit. It has an ARM processor with some low-powered DDR5X memory. And then basically that is that's the brain. That's the motherboard. That's what Intel has been building these huge servers for. That is basically the controller. And it combines RTX-based graphics cards to create a supercomputer.
Wow. That's an impressive level of laying foundation there, but I think you're right.
Well, and that's what they kind of talked about during the GTC. They didn't really go into a lot of detail, but they showed a couple of pictures, and it really is basically, it looks like an RTX card, but in the center is an ARM-based CPU with a bunch of memory around it. And at that point, they can use NVLink, which is what we currently have to link GPUs together. They can use NVLink to go and connect this ARM-based CPU to all the GPUs. So it's really, it's its own ecosystem, whereas Intel and AMD have to rely on USB and PCI Express, these open interconnects, which are in every computer around, but they're also inherently slow. So now we can use NVLink. They can actually design and optimize the transmission of data across the NVLink path, accomplish more with less.
We've been talking a lot about shortages with NVIDIA cards on this podcast, Dennis, but I have noticed that the shortage isn't just in video cards. I'm seeing it in drives. I'm seeing it in, well, a lot of consumer electronics, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there's a shortage for everything. And when we talked about the lockdown that happened last year, we had mentioned how before the lockdown happened, ships had sailed. And it takes a couple of months for those ships to show up in where they need to be, in what port, whatnot.
Assuming they don't get stuck.
Assuming they don't get stuck. And of course, in the U.S., you know, we have an oil-driven market here. And we heard stories about how there were oil tankers that were waiting to unload in the ports, but they couldn't because there was nowhere for the oil to unload to.
Well, and a shortage of workers and a shortage of support personnel, and it just kind of dominoes.
Well, yeah. And since there wasn't a lot of demand for gas, right? The price fell because we have an overabundant supply. Now that's kind of started to stabilize, but that same lockdown sort of situation has disrupted the global markets in terms of manufacturing. So we had a certain amount of time when things were not being made because they couldn't actually ship them. Well, during that time, we also have companies that are trying to have products made. And now everything is just kind of stacking up. And the manufacturing process, I read this somewhere, it says that it follows the just-in-time model.
Okay, yeah, now that's a classic model.
And that is the one where we're going to make what you want right now and acquire what we need to build it at that time. And we will just stack everybody up and let you know when we can get into the fab. And motherboard manufacturers do this. They actually have to plan their motherboard build 6 to 8 months in advance to meet the demands of the manufacturing facility because they have, that's their backlog basically. Well, if that backlog is now stopped because they can't get manufacturing out, everything just backs up and they haven't caught up yet. And that's really why we have a shortage of GPUs, we have a shortage of CPUs, we have a shortage of just general electronics, and we also have crypto miners that are upsetting the balance. They're putting a higher demand on everything because that's what they're buying.
Well, I know that not only has this global pandemic disrupted suppliers, but it also has increased demand. More people are working from home. Mm-hmm. More people are trying to entertain themselves at home. So they're buying video game systems, tablets, laptops at a higher rate, I think, than we've ever historically seen, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, all the hardware press were saying the PC is dead.
Right.
Right. Everybody was buying like Dells and everyone was buying tablets and laptops, basically non-gaming computers. And these are all the disposable machines. So when you're done with them, you just throw them away or recycle them. You don't actually try to upgrade them anymore. Well, with this shortage, the shortage is in the retail grade components that go into the computers that we put together. So really it's shown that the PC is still alive. It just isn't as big as it used to be, and it's not in the forefront. People aren't talking about it until there's a shortage and something to talk about. So while we have a shortage of GPUs because they're being repurposed, we also have reports of SSDs going in short supply because of a cryptocurrency that is sweeping China.
Oh, no, that's an interesting twist.
And so as we know, cryptocurrency, the way that it works is you basically mine for these coins. And then there's this blockchain that gets passed around with all of the miners to validate that, hey, this person found a coin. Well, some of these don't have what they call a proof of work. They just say, well, this got mined and it belongs to X. And there's some other stuff in there to actually track it and where it goes and where it comes from. Well, this new crypto coin actually has a proof of work as part of how the coin got made. So now the blockchain is growing exponentially to the point where you need to have high-speed storage and a lot of it to be able to hold that proof of work and still be able to mine new ones.
Oh my. Yeah, that's a big difference. Well, it certainly feels like a difficult time to be shopping for hardware. Mm-hmm. When do you think things will start to ease up?
That is a very good question. And according to industry experts on the internet, because they are always correct, we should see maybe 6 to 8 months into the future when things will start to ease up. Now, it really depends on what segment you're in. And if we're talking about GlobalFoundries, who is making GPUs and CPUs, that might be 6 to 8 months. That might be even longer. But if we have just motherboard manufacturers that have their own fab or a much smaller fab, like Gigabyte, for instance, we probably won't have that. However, if they're waiting on chipsets to be manufactured, that might be a problem. But we have companies like NVIDIA that are actually fighting to try and equalize the supply and demand by segmenting their products that are actually being used incorrectly. And we also have new technology that is still waiting to be released. So hopefully, about this time next year, maybe we'll start seeing some new stuff. For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes at hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS. Follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2021. Thanks for listening.